Good evening, Clarice.
A hire? Own a motel? That's important here. And you'd be welcome to spend the night one of the afternoons if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil!
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Necronomicast. My name is Wayne, and with me today is a special co-host.
This is Lori.
So, yes.
Nothing like Tim.
Nothing like Tim at all. You're much cuter than Tim.
I am much cuter than Tim.
Yes. So, you're here co-hosting with me today because we've started to incorporate not only talking with producers, writers, actors, doing movie reviews, but we're getting into book reviews.
Right.
And so
because there's a whole bunch of awesome horror / paranormal books out there right now. It's always been a genre, but I feel like now it's kind of opened up. There's a lot more stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're talking with Blue Remy today. Hi, Blue.
Hi.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And even more so, thanks for sending us your book. Lori got to read it, and she's got a list of questions for you. So
that's fantastic.
I really enjoyed the book. It was a lot of fun. So this is the name of the book is From Hell with Love, and it's the first in the 13-hour series. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have kind of a timeline of when some of the other – when the books are going to be coming out, or – is that still in the works?
Keeping my fingers crossed, but we're hoping, or at least I'm hoping, book two will be out hopefully by Christmas time or the first of next year.
Cool. That's good. And right now you can buy From Hell with Love on Amazon? And
There's only one left in print right now because I'm in transition going hopefully to a new publisher here pretty soon.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, well tell us about the book in general, like how you got started developing the characters and coming up with this genre of book.
Well, I've always been a huge Stephen King girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, ever since I was little, Cujo was actually the first book I ever read, and I think I was in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I fell in love with the horror genre and then kind of moved into the paranormal. But then, huge Grimm's Fairy Tale fan.
Oh, yeah.
Got into D&D, and I created the main character, Raven, off of a D&D board. And then when Vampire Masquerade came out, I transitioned her to that. And then AOL RP came out, and then I started writing her.
Oh,
and
wow.
It just kind of flowed from there, and I started creating this world and these characters. And finally, my husband just was like, you really need to put this down on paper. And so it just kind of went from there.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, coming from a gaming character into that, because, you know, that's where some of the best stories are developed. Especially in role-playing games. Do you feel that being a role-player, role-playing gamer, and gamer in general, and a fan of D&D and all that, helped you in writing this book as you progress through this series?
Yeah, because I was a DM, or a dungeon master, and so you had to use a lot of creativity to create a world for somebody.
Right.
So, I mean, it honestly really helped a lot. To be able to do that.
Yeah, because you're already creating, you're
yeah,
basically
the
writing the adventure as it goes. It's sort of a choose your own adventure kind of book, like on the fly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which exactly. Is cool.
That's fun. So then the rest of the characters just sort of came out of that as well. Raven was the basis, and then, you know, her murder.
Duncan was actually my husband's character online.
Oh, really?
And we sat down and created him, and he started playing him online, and then he's in the military, so he got busy. Mm-hmm. And I took the character over, and I've really tried to keep him true to how he was created. And I will even sit down with my husband and be like, okay, is this what Duncan would do?
That's cool.
And so whenever I do any swag for Duncan, it's always WWDD, what would Duncan do?
Right.
Maybe that's what I'll turn and ask him. So what would Duncan do? And it just kind of sucks. So. And the other characters, Valentino, he I created online as well, but I spent probably a good 3 months alone researching his character and his history, because he's thousands upon thousands of years old. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, his timeline was good, because I'm too OCD. I can't mm-hmm. have something not mesh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, there is a lot of thought that has gone into each one of the characters.
Yeah, and you can tell. You know, they have that, even when you're reading them, just the description, and like, you know, I've just read the first book, but it's like you can tell that there's a good backstory there. You know, and reading the first book makes you want to know more about everyone else's stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, each book that's coming out after this is about a character. And book two, it will be about Tar and Feather.
Right. So. The twins. So there's a lot of Old Norse religion that's kind of the backbone. Was that something that you had to do a crazy amount of research to get into?
Yes. I've actually been doing, like, years of research, because I've always been fascinated by mythology and whatnot. So I've always felt a lean towards the Norse and the Celtic, and I just thought it would be absolutely insane, because I have not seen a lot of Norse background books.
Yeah.
So it just kind of flowed from there.
Yeah, it makes it very original, you know. It's a good premise. And you've got a little glossary, so you can kind of, I was, you know, just perusing through that to get started, just so that I would know what was happening as I was reading it. But
the glossary will grow as the books
feel. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But it's cool. It's cool to know those words and to kind of feel like you get a little bit of a history lesson too as you're going along. I like that.
Yeah.
So, well, tell me about the publishing process and how once you got this all written down and once you had it together and you were editing it and looking for a publisher. I mean, how did you approach it? Self-publishing? Did you go and try and find an agent?
I actually only had 5 chapters done when I was looking for a publisher. Mm-hmm. And I just pitched to a small publishing house, and they liked it so much that they said, yes, we're going to take it off of 5 chapters. And they gave me a deadline to have it done by, and I went through the editing process with them. Very, very difficult process. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was wondering.
When I first got my manuscript back, and it was just covered in red and whatnot. I mean, I sat on the middle of my floor and just cried.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's your baby being torn to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, it's really not being torn to shreds. They're just trying to help you make it better. And I really had to deal with that. And then we ended up switching editors, and I got this new editor. Her name's Lisa. And she and I clicked. And she is phenomenal. And we talked in emails before we even started the process. She got to learn me what I wanted, where I wanted the book to go. She didn't try to change my voice. She didn't try to change really anything. She just had me add to it. Mm. And
it's a trust thing, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to trust the person that's dealing with your work.
You really do, because, I mean, you're putting your baby in somebody else's hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, Lori's read it, it's raw, it's gritty, mm-hmm. it's very just blunt book, and she has now called that style Blunese. She's like, I speak Blunese now. And she knows what my characters do. She knows how they act. So this way she can say, you know what? I really don't think Price would be doing that. He's just too much of a rookie. Why don't you have him do this? And she'll suggest. She doesn't say, oh, no, that sucks. We're tossing it out. We are going to do this. And that's what I really like about her.
Yeah. Wow. So she's working with you, not just
exactly.
for her own devices or whatever. That's,
yeah,
that's a crazy process. I think especially for writers because it's so personal. And especially the way that you have developed this character and these characters, they're you know, very personal. And people that you've been with for years, you know, getting to know from the inside out for years. So
yeah, because, I mean, there are days when I want to sit down and I write, and I'll just be sitting there staring at the screen, and, you know, my husband's like, well, why aren't you writing? And it's like, Raven's not talking to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. And you can't, I mean, there are days when I have another series that I'm working on, and it's like that particular character is like, hey, I've got this going on. Come on, write me. And people think we're crazy, but seriously, we've got a crap ton of voices going on in our head.
Yeah, I'll bet. No, I mean, that's exactly the same way it is, I think, sometimes with art. Only with art, you don't have somebody saying, you got to repaint this or repaint that.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not feeling this color today. Red's calling me today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you've got this playlist. I was just kind of looking and I was scanning down further on like Amazon, and there's this playlist on there. So like, tell me a little bit about that.
Because every character has a mood, and I kind of like to put theme music to my characters, mm-hmm. so that way, you know, if honestly, like when I was writing the love scene, I had to have the most god-awful, sappy, just boo-hooing music playing. when Raven is a very hardcore character. The ultimate badassery for a chick, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have this very soft side to her that she doesn't let people show.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, she doesn't show people. And that song, Club to Death, you have this very hard beat, and then all of a sudden in comes the soft piano. And that's Raven.
Right.
So, you know, each song, I mean, think about Still Counting. I don't know if you've ever heard that song. But, no. I mean, the opening line of that song is Duncan.
Nice.
So it's just I try to pick music that fits that character.
That's cool.
And then like certain chapters, I have Set Fire to the Rain for one of the last chapters.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that song, I saw that scene in my head. And I was like, that's it. And so I would play that while I was writing that scene and bawling my eyes out and sobbing. And
that's wild.
Yeah. Music, I use music a lot, and I watch a lot of horror movies while I'm writing this series. So
all of that plays into it.
Well, yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely getting all the stimulus in there that you can, subliminally and liminally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to figure out how to do new killings for
yeah.
serial exactly. killer in the book.
There's plenty out there to choose from, that's for sure. That's one thing we learned.
Exactly.
So you mentioned Stephen King as being somebody that you read a lot. What other authors out there are you kind of reading now?
Sherilyn Kenyon mm-hmm. is a big one. J.R. Ward, her Black Dagger Brotherhood series. I read Laurel K. Hamilton on her Anita Blake series till she really started going softcore porn. Then I quit. It wasn't like paranormal anymore.
Yeah.
Dean Koontz, huge. Love Dean Koontz.
Yeah.
But pretty much I own every J.R. Ward Black Dagger and every Dark Hunter book by Sherilyn Kenyon. So they're usually my main reads. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Excellent. So what's happening with everything now as far as the publishing of your book and the availability of the book for the fans out there that want to get a hold of a copy?
Yeah, I decided to move on with a new publisher. I'm looking right now for a publisher. I've got one that's read the book. They really like the book. They've recommended it to be accepted by this publishing company. Hopefully, we're keeping our fingers crossed that it will be accepted. If not, if I don't hear anything back from any of the other publishers that I've submitted to, I will be self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will now be in August if I don't hear anything. And it should be back to being available, hopefully, by September or the beginning of October, because I'll be going to Anne Rice's Vampire Masquerade Ball and her Undead Con this year, and I've got to have books for that. It'll be out again by September to October.
That's good. That was the other thing I was going to ask you about. So the convention route, has that been, I mean, is that kind of are there more conventions out there now? Or has it always been out there?
Yeah.
I mean,
like, no. Comic-Con, of course, started it all.
Sure.
And then they did Dragon Con in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot more for the fantasy world, right. the paranormal world. Then along came Wizard Con in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
But Anne Rice has always had the Vampire Ball.
Right.
I mean, that has huge since the Vampire Lestat came out,
mm-hmm.
and which she will be attending this year, so that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then a lot more have started popping up, like Raven Con, Wizard Con,
mm-hmm.
The one that you just sent me the other day.
Right.
Crypticon.
And then you have Mysticon. I mean, they're just really starting to pop up
now,
all over the
place. Is that something that you get to attend? I mean, are you looking at doing that as your series expands, getting out to some of these conventions? And I mean, because it looks like you can go to horror conventions, you can go to fantasy conventions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's kind of broad.
I fit in either zone.
Right.
I'm lucky because my book is a multi-genre book, mm-hmm. and that's what not a lot of people think. They're just like, ooh, it's a paranormal romance. No, it's not.
Right.
Yes, it has a romantic element, but I don't focus hardcore on that. I'm also focusing on the suspense of it. I've thrown in the horror with the serial killings. Mm-hmm. I've thrown in, you know, there's Grimm's fairy tale tie-in that you haven't got yet to see, Lori,
right.
but that really comes out in book two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to, I'm going to Anne Rice this year. I'm going to Mysticon in Virginia in February of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm hoping to hit one up next to you guys.
Yeah, we have a few that come out. Like Kansas City seems to be the closest.
Right. Crypticon is a big one. And it's a horror convention. I know there's some. Necronomicast is going to actually be at Crypticon, but we're going to be at the Hot Springs Horror Film Festival
in Arkansas,
which isn't really a convention; it's more of just a film festival kind of thing. And I'm not sure how they're doing the tables or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, it seems like that's a great way to connect with fans, get your series out there.
It really is, because if they don't know about you, if you've got cool swag and they come up and they're looking at that, you can push the book and. Mm-hmm. A lot of people pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps a lot.
Right.
And it's got to be fun, too. I mean, anytime we go to conventions, it's just a lot of fun to see all the... Because people dress up and everybody's, like, just lets their, you know, their freak flag fly, mm-hmm. you know? They're just comfortable doing whatever. I love it.
That's something I was going to ask too, since for me also as a gamer and longtime D&D player, I've always wanted to know sometimes, especially now with a lot of cosplay going on, have you ever thought about getting your characters from your book and finding people and, you know, cosplaying them out a bit?
Yeah.
Taking photos of them?
A couple of people have done that for me. I had a gal dress up as Raven. I had another one dress up as the bad guy in the book. And then, thank you to Glenn Hummel. I mean, I love this man to death. He he actually let me use his picture, and he has had all of his pictures, actually, for Valentino.
Really?
Because he is the closest person I have ever found how I describe Valentino.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to try to beg and plead and get him to come to one of the cons as Valentino, because he would blow everybody away.
Oh, that would be awesome. What a fun thing.
Yeah,
he's been on the show before.
The book is actually going to script right now.
Cool.
So we're trying to, in my head, I'm already casting.
You know, oh, yeah. I think that's... Don't you do that when you read other books, too, when you're reading? You just kind of cast them in your head no matter what.
Yeah, I do.
That's fun.
In the good version of the movie.
Right,
adaptation.
In the best one. In the one that you're actually...
Not the Hollywood version, the good one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The 4-hour, exactly. 5-hour movie that I have in my head when I'm reading those movies.
So if you want people to, what's your fan page? Where can people go if they want to make sure that they're always in the know of find you and what's going on?
On Facebook, they can find me at facebook.com/blues. 13th hour, and the 13th is 13th.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we'll leave that. We'll find that. We'll leave that on the page too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And they can find my website at the13thhour.com, but it's the Roman numeral 13. Mm-hmm. So it's the XIII hour.com.
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool. Yay.
That's what you need to do is get Facebook pages for your characters, not for Raven.
Yeah, totally.
And then you and your husband can chat back and forth, you know?
That'd be fun.
Like they're in character.
All of the characters have their own Facebook pages as well.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Really?
That's awesome.
I was just kidding.
Yeah,
but that's
can
awesome.
Chat with the characters.
That's cool.
So,
what a fun thing.
It's just look up their names and you can find them. I have Annabelle, Essie, Maelstrom, Duncan and Raven that all have their pages. I don't have enough people to man them all.
Sure. Right. That's a lot. Right. That's a lot.
I'll put those on there too. I think that's
awesome.
Yeah,
that's a really
fun
thing.
We'll put
that
on our show page so that people can click on it and get you know, just get in touch with them.
What a cool interactive world we live in now.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to have that, to be able to connect with people and have your characters connect with people.
And a small world, because you're from Santa Maria, California.
Exactly.
And that's where I grew up. I was kind of blown away when I read that. I read your bio and said, native of Santa Maria. I'm like, what the hell? Nobody's from Santa Maria.
Nobody.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And Santa Maria breathes same, right?
Yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently Santa Maria breeds awesome gamers and creative people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly.
And a little dark.
And a little dark.
A little dark.
Yeah, they breed as crazy folks.
Yes,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Voices in the head. Yeah, just kind of maniacal. Well, awesome. Okay, so we've got the book out, but there's only one copy left. We're going to put all the links on our show page so they can at least get a hold of you online. Keep up to date on what's happening with the book. But if you, I would just say, I mean, if they want to
keep in touch with us too and let us know what's going on. So when you know, get your publisher or when you decide to go on your own, let us know what's happening so we can
definitely
clue people in too.
Right. So, thanks for joining us and being our very first interview
author.
With an author. Yeah.
Yay,
and book reviews.
So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Blue. And we'll see you next time on the Necronomicast.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast. a weekly podcast produced by Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network. For show notes and other information, go to necronomicast.com.